Let's get right to the Word of God. For our Bible reading, I want to read with you in Isaiah chapter number 6. And I trust that you will pray for me, that I will mind the Holy Ghost in these verses of Scripture. There are so many different things that we perhaps could take time to draw out. But I do not want to say one word less, neither one word more than what the Lord would be pleased with. And so as I try to preach, you be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And whether you be young, whether you be old, I feel like there's something in this Scripture for us today. And so perhaps it may be a young person here today that you feel God speak to your heart. Maybe it be an older person. But I believe God has something to say to each of us this morning. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. If the Lord would stand by me, I would like to try to preach today on holy fire for unholy days. I heard his call. That was all. I heard his call. Follow me. And that was all. My gold grew dim. My soul went after him. I rose and followed. That was all. Who would not follow if they heard his call? I'm going to try to mind the Holy Ghost this morning. But I tell you what, God got to shaking my heart earlier today. And I feel like there may be somebody in this house, either previous to this service or during this service, or maybe in the course of this message, you're going to get a call. God is speaking to your heart. And what it all boils down to is this. When God gives you that call, are you going to be willing to say, Here am I, Lord, send me? There are some things that we need to understand about this instance that I have read to you. Here is a man's life that is suddenly empty. Here is a man's life in which there seems to be an aching void because the king has passed from off the scene. And he goes up to the house of the Lord. His heart is broken. His dreams are dashed to pieces. But when he got to the house of the Lord, something revolutionary happened to him. Something happened to him that changed him and his nation forever. He saw the Lord. May I say to you, friend, that when God empties our heart and when God empties our home, he does it so that he may fill our lives with himself. We sometimes question of why that God allows an aching void and God allows our hearts to be emptied. But it's when our hearts are empty that he can fill our lives with his presence. Isaiah went up to the house of the Lord with an empty heart. But when he left the house of the Lord that day, his heart was filled because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Look yonder to the trees that stand out across the way. As you go out, you'll see that the limbs are bare. You'll see that there's no green leaves, there's no foliage, there's no beauty upon the trees. However, you will notice that though the leaves are not there, you can see farther and you can see a greater distance because the dits of the abundance of the leaves have been taken away. Many times in your life and mine, because things in our life are so near and things in our life are so dear and things in our life are so close, we cannot see the God that's in the distance. And so God sends winter and God sends cold and God sends heartache, and He strips the leaves from the trees and He strips the green beauty from the trees. But when the leaves are gone, I can see farther. I can see yonder distance. And I know that there's a God somewhere that is sitting on the throne, and He is in control of everything. Yes, my friend, this accounts for many of the dark experiences that we know in life. Many times God shuts out our little light so we may see the stars that shine in the distance. Have you ever noticed that at night you can look out your window and you can see the stars there, but not very distinct? But if you close out all the lights that are around you, if one by one you cut out every light in the room, and then you look out the window, you can see that the stars shine more distinct and they shine more brightly. May I say that God sometimes does this for us. He puts out the secondary light so that He Himself, the primary light, may shine brighter and greater in our lives. You see, King Uzziah had to pass off of the scene, and then it was that the glory of God was revealed. Sometimes God takes away the idol of our life. Sometimes God takes away the king of our life. Sometimes God takes away, amen, the things in life that we hold near and dear. But when He does that, we understand that God is supreme and God alone sits upon the throne. J.H. Jowett one time said that he knew of a little cottage that was surrounded by a great dense forest. And right in the midst of that great dense forest, with tall, straight, stately trees, was a little small cabin. He said, but the foliage and the undergrowth had grown so thick that when once you got to the cottage, you could not see very far out into the woods. But he visited that cottage once in the winter. All the undergrowth has died off. The trees are stripped of their leaves. And he looks way yonder in the distance. And he sees yonder on a high mountain a great beautiful mansion that he had never seen before. And he said, I would have never seen the mansion had it not been for the winter that took away the beauty of the forest. Oh, may I say today, friend, that many times winter visits our life, but I look way yonder on heaven's high hill and I hear Jesus say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I hear Him say, don't you worry, don't you fret. Winter may have come and stripped off the green leaves and destroyed all the beauty. Winter may have come, but look yonder on heaven's high hill. There's a beautiful mountain and there's a beautiful mansion over there. I want to tell you, see, in the winter of life, that God shows us that He's still on the throne and He's still God and He's still King. Will you say amen? Very quickly, I want you to look at this holy fire that was placed upon the lips of this prophet Isaiah. I want you to understand the confession that precedes this fire. I want you to see the consecration that is provided by this fire. And I want you to see the commission that is prompted by this fire. I want you to understand that the thing that must happen in your life and mine is there must be a confession before that holy fire will descend from off of heaven's altar and be placed in our lives. You see, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, it was then that he said, woe as me. We've been praying for revival. We've been praying for a move of God. We've been praying for a touch of heaven. I want to ask you, my friend, do you understand? Before the holy fire will descend, before God will send that fire upon us, there's going to have to be a confession, a personal confession, hearts and lives of men and women that will say, woe is me. Come on here now. You see, this vision that he had caused him to look at himself. And he didn't say, it's my brother. He didn't say, it's my sister. He didn't say, it's the preacher. He didn't say, it's the deacon. No, he said, woe is me. The vision that he had caused him to make a confession of his uncleanness, of his iniquity, of his sin that must be purged. And may I challenge everyone here at 519 Grimm today, as we begin heart inspection, as we begin to make inspection of our lives, help us, oh God, not to look for faults of everyone else, but help us to look within and see what God is wanting to do in our lives. When will it happen, this vision of Him? It will come when we come into the house of the Lord and we make up our mind. We're going to get our minds on God and God alone. It is the essential of our enlightenment. It is the experience that we must have if we're going to endeavor to keep on. We've got to have a vision of God in this last day, in this last hour. We've got to have a vision of God. It is said concerning Napoleon Bonaparte, that great French emperor, that when France would go to war, that many times Napoleon would mount his mighty steed and he would ride through the ranks while the battle was in array and men were on the front lines when they were holding down the trenches. Bonaparte would move on his great white stallion and ride through the ranks. And the biographer would say that there was something about the passing of the captain's presence that would rally the spirit of the men. It is my prayer that in this revival we experience the passing of the captain's presence. It is my prayer that in this revival the glory of God will be revealed, and it will rally the church, and it will rally the saints, and we will say, woe is me. Amen. And as he had this vision, there was not only a vision that he had, but there were some voices that he heard. And what did they say? Holy! 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 How about it today? What is our response when we come to the house of God? These seraphims, they said, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now, in light of Uzziah's passing, in light of the darkness that had settled over this nation, what inference can we draw from that? What conclusion do we understand from the voices that he heard crying, holy, 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 Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. When Garfield received the news that Lincoln had been assassinated, Garfield said, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of America, God reigns. And there is still a government in Washington. May I say to us at the house of prayer, it matters not what changes. It matters not what comes. It matters not what goes. God reigns, and He is still on His throne. You know what we should cry? Holy, 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 holy. Well, let me see if I can preach to you for a while. He made this confession. And when he made that confession on having seen the glory of God, then here come an angel, a seraphim, if you will, a living creature. And with tongs he takes a live coal, literally a hot stone, from off of the altar, and he places it upon the tongue of this prophet. May I say that God sent only one perfectly sinless preacher, and that was his son. Every other preacher had to have a hot coal placed upon his tongue. Will you say, man? Every other preacher had to have that live coal. Every other preacher had to have that fire from above. You see, Jeremiah, and then when God called him, he said, I am a child. I cannot go. But God put a fire in him. And he said it was like a fire shut up in his bones. And he could not stay. And then Moses stood before a bush, and then that burned but was not consumed. And he said, I cannot go. I'm slow of speech. But God caused that fire to burn inside of his bosom. And he went before Pharaoh and said, I am that I am, sent me. Let my people go. John the Baptist went on Patmos. He fell at the feet of the Son of Man as dead. His brain and his body was as paralyzed. But he touched him and said, stand up upon thy feet. And when he took that pen, he wrote, amen, with fire concerning the apocalypse and the approaching hoofbeats, amen, of heaven's horsemen. I want to tell you that what we must have is the fire of God in this last hour. What we must have in this last hour is the fire of God. Oh, Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, raise your hands and ask God to help the preacher. Oh, God. Oh, God. Notice the consecration that is provided by this holy fire. The place from where it came was off the altar. I don't know about you, but that's where I got my calling. Amen. That's where I got my papers, if you will. That's where I got my commission. That's where I got my orders. And that's the altar. In the month of November, 1976, great God, the Lord baptized me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There were seven of us in one night. Got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some few services after that, I could take you to the little church in Caledonia, Mississippi. Amen. Where I was right there about where little Bradley's sitting. And the Holy Ghost got on me. Amen. I felt like my very heart was going to beat out of my chest. Amen. Only God in heaven knows everything that transpired in that service. But all I know is when the shout was over and everything was done, I knew that God had took a coal off the altar and placed it upon my tongue. I knew that God had a work for me to do. I knew that God had put a call upon my life. I told you, amen, God began to work on me early about this right here. And I don't know who or how many, amen, that God may be speaking to in this service. But let me summarize things and bring you to where we are. Amen. The idol of your life, the king of your life, the dream of your life may have been taken away. And there may be a void and there may be an emptiness. But God has allowed that to come so that you can see the king in his glory. That void will be filled with the glory of God. And then after Isaiah had seen the glory of God, the call of God was placed upon his life. And could it be that God has allowed things to happen as he has? Could it be that God has ordained things to be as he has, so that he may place a call upon your life, so that he may put holy fire? I said, so that he may put holy fire in your life. Glory to God. Someday, God is going to reveal to every one of His Christians that the circumstances that He has allowed were but instruments in His hand that He used upon our lives so that He could mold us and make us to fit into His plan. And after that angel brought that live coal and placed it upon His tongue, He said, "Thy iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged." He's consecrated. He's been made pure. Let me stop right here and insert this. How many of you know it takes a holy life to be used of God? How many of you know it takes a sanctified life to be used of God? Come on here now. It's not a light thing to trifle with the Spirit of God. It's not a light thing to trifle with the anointing of God. When I was a preacher boy getting started 20 years ago, there was two preachers that was about my age. They left Alabama and they went to Oklahoma and they went to Kentucky and they went all over. And afterwards it was a big laugh and a big joke about how they went to holiness churches and sang. Both of them tried their hand at preaching a while. But they thought it was funny because they could rent a motel and watch HBO and then go to holiness church and sing. They thought it was a cute thing that they could, so they thought, get by with looking at the wrong kind of magazines and reading the wrong kind of material and still go to holiness camp meeting. Come on here now. But both of them are backslid and hell-bent today because they played with God and they trifle with the things of heaven. Let me run something by all of you young people. Amen. If you're not going to live the life and walk the walk, then don't try to talk the talk. Remember that that fire is for purging and that fire is for cleansing. But after that confession and upon that consecration, there then come a commission, because God spoke and said, "Who will go for us, and whom shall I send?" I need to do a little preaching here today, and I'm telling you what God needs and what God is looking for is some men that He can send. You see, the question that is implied is not so much who will go, which one of the crowd, how many of the multitude, who among from the nation, and who out of the people will go. No, who is qualified? Who is it that's got the message? Who is it that's got the fire? And I believe in this last hour, God is looking for some young men that'll stand up and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me." And so the Scripture says it this way: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And that's my message to us today. In the midst of unholy days, in the midst of ungodliness, in the midst of a perverse generation, what we must have is some holy fire for some unholy days. I know it's an unholy hour. Amen. I don't have to be a photographer of mud holes and get up here and paint you a big, dark, black, bleak picture. You know all of that. You hear the news. You read the paper. Things are bad. They're grim. They're dark. But nevertheless, amid unholy days, there's still holy fire. I said, in the midst of ungodliness and backslidings and going away from God, God still wants to send revival. I said, God still wants to pour out the power of God in this last day. He's going to have a preacher. I said, God's always had a preacher. They may be congregations backing up and movements backsliding, but I want to tell you, God is going to have a remnant. I said, God is going to have a people. Now, there are two things you need to understand about the conclusion of this chapter in regard to verses 8 through verses number 13. And that was the apparent failure of the prophet, and then also the assured fulfillment of the prophecy. Because God tells Isaiah to go to the people, and you're going to preach to them, and they're going to, but they understand, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. He said, make the heart of the people fat, and make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand. Apparent failure. Seems like it's no success. Seems like there's nobody listening. Seems like that nobody's taking heed. And so he quizzes in verse number 11 and says, then said I, Lord, how long? How long am I going to preach? How long am I going to give the message? How long am I going to preach? And though they have ears, they won't hear. And though they have eyes, they don't see. How long? Until. But then notice verse number 13. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. It may only be a tenth. It may only be a substance. It may only be a remnant. Great God of heaven. But God is going to have a people. God is going to have somebody. I wish the building was full. I wish the house was overflowing. I wish we was having two services on Sunday morning. So how long are you going to preach? How long are you going to stand? How long are you going to prophesy? How long are you going to keep preaching? Until. I'm just going to keep on preaching. Until. You see, that's the fire that is in the preacher. The difference between a sick man and a man that goes is the man that goes on his own. He won't stay. I said he won't stay, but a sent man, a man sent from God, he'll preach. And the Bible said in John 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And that's the kind of men we need, is men sent from God. And this was John's message. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose hand is in his hand, and he'll thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner, and the chaff he'll burn with fire unquenchable. Now the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John was a sent man, and he burned with that fire. Young men, my challenge to you today is make that confession before God. Woe is me. And then when you're honest with God and make that confession before God, it's then and only then that God will send that live coal from off the altar and place that fire in your life. And then when God says, who will go? Whom shall I send? That fire burning within your bosom will begin to burst forth. And you'll say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Do you remember when Samuel dwelt in the house of the Lord? The Bible said that the vision of Eli was dim. And ere the lamp of God went out in the house of the Lord, and Samuel lay upon his bed, and the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli. Once, twice, three times. And the Bible said that Eli perceived. He knew it was the Lord. And he told young Samuel, he said, when he speaks to you again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. It may be that God has spoke to you before, and you may have not understood who it was. You may have not understood what it was. You may not have reckoned that it was God. But Samuel went and he lay upon his bed. Can you imagine? There in the house of the Lord, in the still quiet night, he upon his bed, and he wonders. He waits. Perhaps he wishes, oh, I wish I could hear that voice again. He lies in the quiet dark of the night, waiting, waiting. He heard it again. Samuel. Samuel. And the young man said, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. You may be here today. God is calling your name again. May I say to you, if you will but lend your ear and open your heart, He'll put a fire in your soul that'll cause you to rise up and be a wonder to many. Let's stand all over this house. Come get us a song.
Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us now the promised Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost, send the fire. God of Elijah, hear our cry, send the fire. Make us fit to live or die, send the fire. To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and God's glory in. The revolution now begin, send the fire. 'Tis fire we need, for fire we plead, send the fire. The fire that'll meet our every need, send the fire. For strength to ever do the right, for grace to conquer in the fight, for power to walk in the world white, send the fire. To make our weak hearts brave and strong, send the fire. To die, to live a dying world to save, send the fire. Oh, see us on the altar lay, our lives are all this very day. To crown the offering now we pray, oh Lord, send the fire. That's my prayer for this revival. Lord, would you send some holy fire for these unholy days? Would you put your call upon some young lives? God, would you put the fire of the Holy Ghost in our hearts? Could we give God a praise this morning? Oh, shut up. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, as I said at the beginning of this message, it may be to a young heart, it might be to an older, mature life, but perhaps you felt God deal with your life this morning, speak to your heart. It was at a very young age when I first heard God call my name. Has God been calling you? Has God been speaking to you? Can you now see that because of the circumstances that God has allowed to come, things that God has brought into your lives, it has caused you to get a more clearer vision of Him? And out of that vision, and from that God has shown you, His voice is speaking to you of the vocation, of the job that He wants you to fulfill in your life. God is speaking to hearts here this morning. I heard His call to follow. And that was all. His call was enough. There may be someone here today, you've got a long ways away from that call. Somehow or another, you just got away. And you missed that call. You missed that fire. Somehow or another, it grew dim. Somehow or another, you just got away from Him. You're here today and you need that fire again. It might be hard for Brother Bobby to follow along, but I was thinking about the old words of Gordon Jensen. Bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we began. How did I miss the road? When did I lose the glow? Where did the wonder go? Bring back the new again. Bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the new again.